flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Right between the eyes! I can listen to Kevin Harlan like read a menu to me. Anything. Doesn't matter. What do you want in your omelet? But few and far between. You know how many times this year, and I know obviously he's missed some games, you know how many times this year Jimmy's put up 30?
He's played, what, like 25 games this year?
Jimmy has played in a total of, you nailed it, 25 games. He's played 25 games.
I guess he scored 30 or more twice in those 25.
Three times. He scored 35 against Detroit on December 16th, and he has played in 6 games since. And I don't even know if he barely got into 30 points total in those 6 games. You want to know his last 5-point finals? And this is all 25 minutes or more. Last 5 games. 9-9, 18-8, 13. Andrew Wiggins is like, dude, are you trying?
Oh, please. Please.
Just saying.
Wiggins went 1-for-11 the other day, all right?
He did, yeah. Jimmy is, look, I like Jimmy Butler. I'm not here to tell you that Jimmy Butler's not a great player. He truly is. He's a great player. As usual, though, I feel context matters. And simply just being like, add Jimmy Butler, like add water. There's a lot more to it than that. And I have a hard time right now envisioning a scenario where the Warriors don't get hurt by doing this in some sort of a way. Do they become a better offensive team? Sure. But it feels like there's no...
Better defensive team, too.
Sure, but there's no avenue where it doesn't hurt them in some sort of a way. And I think you brought this up, too. Like, don't we all agree that Steph needs to be surrounded by more shooting? It's almost like what you're going to get if you do this is like a steroided version of Andrew Wiggins. That's Jimmy Butler. So that's not a spot-up, knockdown three-point shooter.
You won a championship with Andrew Wiggins as your second-best player.
You did. You did. With a lot of spot-up shooting surrounding them.
Yep.
A lot of spot-up shooting. Okay, take a listen. So, first of all, here is the Brian Windhorst cut from ESPN with regard to the latest on Jimmy Butler.
Well, the Heat really are trying to move him. I think there might be a perception out there because it seems like it's gone on for weeks that they're not, but they are. And from the sources I've been talking to for the last really 48 hours, but definitely tonight, the Heat's price has dropped. They are willing to do more than they were when this all started last month. The Heat are trying to get this done. The difficulty, Scott, is the one team that really, really wants Jimmy Butler and the team that he really, really wants to go to is the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns have basically the most untradeable contract in the league, not just because Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause, but because how much he's owed on that contract versus what his production is. And even if you could convince him to accept a trade to a certain place, it's a hard thing to do. And so you're really trying to squeeze not just drops of blood out of a stone, you're trying to squeeze a gallon of blood out of a stone. And these teams have been running their heads into it for weeks, and it's not helping what's going on the court and off the court with Jimmy and the Heat.
And the Warriors are reportedly one of those teams that are now re-entering the race because the price is down. Shams went a step further, also on ESPN. He named the Warriors.
The Heat are engaged with multiple teams on Jimmy Butler, including, from what I'm told, the Phoenix Suns and Golden State Warriors. The Heat are operating in the landscape as a team that's motivated with interested suitors. And as far as a price tag on Jimmy Butler goes, it's been described to me in league circles that the Heat are looking for shorter term contracts along with draft assets, and they have not yet received an offer that they're moving forward with.
Now, this is also interesting. Sam Amick, FanDuel TV. This goes back to January 9th. So you got to run back now, almost 3 weeks. At the time, this was his commentary on why the Warriors were not interested in Jimmy Butler.
Their reasoning for not going after Jimmy, even beyond the money, is that to this point, they've been pretty happy with Andrew Wiggins' play. And the idea of also giving up a Jonathan Kuminga in that deal, even though he's hurt right now, is something they weren't looking to do. The prospect of Wiggins and Kuminga going out and Butler coming in, they didn't like kind of how that looked for them.
Okay, so what if Kuminga's not in the deal? Now are you interested? That's probably the question that the Warriors are answering.
Yeah, and I think they should be. If the only major cost, and again, it would have to cost more if you do a quick like trade machine work, it's going to cost you Wiggins plus someone like GP2, Slow-Mo, another piece to essentially make the money work.
Yeah.
And it would have to be a multi-team trade because the Warriors would probably give up another lower-level piece and get another couple of pieces back to make the roster fit right and all that. So it wouldn't not just be Warriors and Heat. It would be a number of other teams involved, which is why this is an extremely convoluted process. But if the only major piece you're giving up is Andrew Wiggins, yes, it makes you better, therefore you should do it. That's
what about that pick?
Depends what pick it is.
First rounder. I'm just throwing stuff out there now. 2027, first rounder.
2027 first round pick, which would be what? The year after the current final year on Steph's contract. Is that right?
Because he's got
26 and 27.
He's got two more years?
Or does he have three more?
Because he just signed another one. I think he's got two more, right?
He is under contract through, where is it here? Through the 26-27 season.
Yeah,
so that would be the first round pick after Steph.
After Steph, yeah.
Unless,
and I'm just throwing that out there.
He could sign another contract.
Sure he could. You paused.
I do pause.
That's a long pause.
I do pause.
It's a long pause. So
you don't put it in your initial offer, and you hold out and see if the Heat get anything else done.
Joe in Walnut Creek. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, man. Guys, I feel like this is Groundhog Day all over again. Last year, what happens? You start the vets. They start off good because they're good, Then they wear down, they get injured, they go out, and finally Kerr has to play the young guys. But what happens? They get better. Same thing this year. Exact same thing happened. Now here's the problem with the Jimmy Butler trade. It doesn't hold Kerr accountable for refusing to develop a young player or to even play them. And we get older. He's 35. He is not the player he used to be, just like Steph's not and just like Draymond's not. And if you're going to make that trade, fine. You give him Wiggins and maybe GP2 or please Heald so we don't have to watch Heald chuck up 10 air balls. And you do that, but you're still, you got to remember, you're getting older if you do that. Hey, so, man, I don't know.
Yeah, Joe, even if I fundamentally agree with you, can I ask you one question about something you said, which is this? You said the same thing has happened this year. He started playing the young guys and they got better. Did they?
Last year,
no,
they did not get better.
This year.
He hasn't played them. Listen, whenever he plays J.K. 30 minutes, J.K. scores 20 and does good. He's expecting consistency from young players without providing them consistency. They don't have consistent minutes. They don't have consistent games. They don't know whether they're starting, whether they're coming off the bench. He is a big part of the problem, and it's Groundhog Day, and the Warriors are refusing to do anything about it.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. I appreciate it. First of all, I think Jonathan Kuminga has gotten tremendously consistent minutes this year, whether he's starting or coming off of the bench.
It took a little bit.
There was a dip early in the year for a second where he was, like, struggling to get to 20 for 2 weeks. But outside of that, Jonathan has gotten his minutes. My big issue with the statement is that once you start playing the young guys, they got better this year. I'm waiting for young, old, or anyone in between to look better this year. They haven't looked better since the first month of the season.
Yeah, I thought for a second maybe Joe was referring to Gee Santos and Quinton Post. I'm not sure I think he's talking specifically about Kuminga, but
yeah, I don't know.
Also, there is the big elephant in the room, which is they're 10-20 in their last 30 games. Even if the young players are playing better, it's not like it's making a difference in the wins and losses.
Right, and the point about when you play Kuminga, he plays well, or you play him and he gives you 20. Sure, do they win? Do they, like, that's the correlation I think people are waiting for.
Now, if you're going to lose, it would be better to play your youngsters
yes.
and lose than play your veterans and lose.
I will agree with that. Jazz are in town. That might be a team the Warriors can handle. Warriors Live with Evan Giddings starts at 6 o'clock. Presented by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. All right, talks are apparently back on for Jimmy Butler. And by the way, De'Aaron Fox's name is getting thrown around. We'll explain all of that to you coming up next. Are you in or out on the idea of Jimmy now that, quote, the price has come down? 888-957-9570. And we're getting closer and closer to knockout hour. We'll tell you about that coming up real soon. Grandy's in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
One-on-one. Butler backs in. That fallaway shot is up and good. 34 for Butler. It's an 8-point lead. 120 remaining. Butler says, give me the ball. Butler the drive, the runner, he banks it in. Oh, what a masterpiece from Jimmy Butler.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, there's JK. God, you know, I hadn't even thought of this. How about the possibility that Jonathan Kuminga has played his final game as a Warrior? That ever occurred to anybody?
I'd be shocked.
Me too. It's possible.
It's possible. You're right. He could be traded, and he's not going to play before the deadline.
He's not going to play before the deadline. And stop playing all these highlights of everything that Jimmy Butler like has been perfect. Where do we have any sound of him walking out of the gym during practice earlier this week?
No, that includes too much Pat Riley swearing.
Got it.
Sorry.
Do we have sound of the plane taking off without him last week for the Miami Heat? Do we have any of that?
He's only upset because they didn't give him a contract extension.
Oh, right.
And guess what?
Why was he upset in the three previous places that he talked his way out of?
Because Cat is soft.
Okay.
Because Joel Embiid doesn't play often enough.
Apparently, Joel Embiid is I saw a report, I know you saw it too,
yep,
that Embiid wants him back. He wants to trade Paul George for him.
You know why he rubs people the wrong way? Because they're not dogs like he is.
Because he holds them accountable.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
He wants to win so badly.
Yeah.
No one else can keep up with him.
Yet.
Get him in this Warriors culture. Yeah, screw the Heat culture, am I right?
Yet he never has. Never has.
And he never had a teammate like Steph.
Uh-huh. Is that true, by the way?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Never had a teammate. Well, I mean,
Steph is a top 10 player of all time. He's never had anyone on that level.
But this is the 36 and three quarters year old Steph.
Yeah, that's true.
Has he ever had one of those? I feel like he's probably had one of those. He's had some pretty good teammates.
Yeah, he had Embiid for, like, what, half a year?
Had Andre Iguodala.
In Miami.
And the Warriors are retiring that number.
They are.
Congrats to Iguodala. I think they waited for Dibs to be out in order to announce that news because they didn't think it was going to go well if Dibs was on air when they announced that event.
And they're retiring his number when Clay and the Mavericks are in town again.
Perfect.
So the whole band's back together.
Yeah, get everybody together.
Yeah.
What's the date of it?
February.
It's later this month, right? Or next, I'm sorry, next month. I know we're not in February yet.
I can find it in a sec.
Yeah, okay. Mike and Hayward, we're taking your calls. The Jimmy Butler and Warriors pairing is reportedly back on as a possibility.
February 23rd.
23rd, okay. And the Warriors are engaged in talks, reportedly, because reportedly the price has come down. Let's go to Mike and Hayward. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. What's up?
How you guys doing today? You know, I look at the Warriors as when they won the last title. Was that 2 years ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah, they had got Oscar Porter. They had Porter on the team. The other guy from Europe, what was his name?
Bjelica.
Bjelica.
Right? And that kind of fitted in with the veterans, and it worked well, right? And Wiggins had a good year, right? That did it. But then I always thought that after they won it, why did everybody think they going to win five? They won four with that squad. It was time to start moving off people then, a little bit at a time, and get younger players around Curry. That's 2 years ago.
But, Mike, I'm going to challenge you on that. Hold on, because I hear this too much from people where it's like, well, that's what you should have done this then. How? Who are, like, contractually, and I'm not saying it's not possible. I'd just love to hear your ideas. Who are you moving off, and how are you getting off of those contracts?
Well, they just should have never signed those contracts.
Which ones?
Because hold on a second. They never should have signed, gave all those people all that money.
Which ones?
They gave Wiggins money because he had one good year.
Okay. So in
okay,
that, so,
it, so I was against him doing it.
But that's a below market value deal for a player.
I know it is, but everybody knows that you build NBA teams up through the draft. Everybody knows that.
Right, but he was,
you acquire younger players.
But Mike, he was a younger player. He's still in his 20s. I mean, and he got locked into the money.
And they had to pay that luxury tax. Now they don't want to pay it, right? They don't want to pay the luxury tax. And now they're trying to find out a way of winning it without paying the luxury tax. Well, you just might as well realize that you're not going to win a championship while Curry's still there. You're probably not going to win one.
Mike, if you had said, and listen, appreciate the call. If you'd used the word Draymond Green, I would have been more open to an agreement of what you're saying. But when you come out of a championship season, the two big things that they did first were they did sign two extensions, the players that were in their 20s.
Poole and Wiggins.
Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins.
And by the way.
And signed both of them to pretty manageable numbers. Those are not the numbers that are hanging around the Warriors' necks right now.
I specifically remember, maybe not everyone, but the general consensus after the Wiggins extension was, he took a hometown discount.
Couldn't believe that he signed it.
Let's gear up for 2023. We're going back to back.
And remember this. This is why I'll always give a little pushback, because I watched this for years with the likes of Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Crawford. And people are like, you stupid, these contracts that you get, you all loved them when they signed them. Wiggins, Poole, Crawford, Belt, Posey, we could go on and on. When those championships get won, everybody wants to keep your people. Everyone does. I'll give you a smaller version of it with the Warriors. And I hear his name get tossed into everybody's ESPN trade machine today. But 2.5 years ago, this city was freaking out at the idea of losing Kevon Looney. Freaking out. And then they signed him, and about 10 minutes later, people were like, well, I wonder if that contract could fit. Well, he can't shoot. Gosh, surround him, Draymond Green, Looney, this doesn't work. So, look, that doesn't mean the Warriors were right. It just means that those were not things that they could have or would have done at that point. You would not have let Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole just walk.
I think maybe the point of the caller and a number of other Warrior fans, and I know this isn't necessarily an argument you like to hear, it was signing Jordan Poole and then trading him for a guy approaching 40 years old.
Well, again, I don't think they were trading him for a guy who was approaching 40 years old. I think they were trading him for a contract that was approaching being done.
Mm.
That's what that was.
And they didn't take advantage of that contract slot after the fact.
Well, did they or didn't they? You can even have that debate. Like, I know they wanted or hoped to turn it into more.
But the perfect opportunity didn't present itself.
It did not. And
so they're gonna continue to practice patience.
But what did it allow them to do? It did allow them to reset the second apron by having that money come off of their books.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll continue to those of you who love to pound the table about the young players. And, you know, if you're still mad about Jordan Poole, I'm pretty sure Kuminga is like a non-conversation if you still had Jordan Poole. Nope. Like, can't keep him. So he's gone.
Well, Poole's contract isn't that restrictive.
No, listen, what was explained to me at that time is the new CBA rules make it almost impossible to have three or more players making big money, north of $30 million money. So the problem is the money going to keep going up? I don't exactly know what Jonathan's going to get, but I think he's going to get 30. I do think he's going to get 30.
The reports were he asked for around 35 per year before this year. Warriors offered at the max like 30 per year.
He's going to get at least 25. He's going to get at least 25. You've got Steph getting an extension. You've got Draymond's contract. You had Wiggins' deal at the time, which I know is short of 30, but it's in the neighborhood of 25, 26. And now you want to give Kuminga something. I'm sorry, you can't do it. Can't do it. So, and that's without adding in all the emotional stuff that was going on with Jordan and his teammates. Or teammate.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. As it relates to Jimmy Butler and the possibility, because you get hung up on if it means you got to sacrifice Jonathan Kuminga, whether it's in the trade or if the contract that Jimmy Butler has keeps you from extending Kuminga.
I don't want this team a year and a half from now to be Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy.
What if Kuminga is demanding way, 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 way more than the Warriors are comfortable giving him?
I don't know if he's in position to demand anything.
He's going to be a free agent.
A restricted free agent. He's going to have somebody else offer him that money.
And what if someone else offers him that money?
Well, that's the job of the Warriors right now to kind of know. And obviously there's a game of chicken that goes on there.
But so let me tell you.
Brooklyn is really the only team that can scare the Warriors, and I don't know that that's what they're looking to do. But
let's pretend that the Warriors think that he's going to get an offer, Kuminga is going to get an offer on the open market this summer that is too rich for their blood.
Okay.
And that they're going to lose Kuminga one way or the other. Does that sway how you feel about a potential Jimmy Butler acquisition?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. You know what I mean? But the funny thing is if you just, like, let's go back to the way you're arguing it, which is to kind of say, let's spotlight right now.
Mm-hmm.
Does he make you better? Well, if you take Wiggins and Kuminga off the team, I'd argue the answer is no. I think you get worse. So what are we trying to help? Sure, maybe you are going to lose Kuminga in the offseason. But in that potential scenario of losing a restricted free agent, I would still wait and argue that there is the high potential of doing exactly what they did with Poole, which is maybe you sign that deal and it becomes more tradable for a different player down the road. And now you're cooking with something that people want, because it's a player who's, I mean, what is he, 22, 23 years old? He's still a baby. He's got so many games in front of him.
Yeah, 22.
22 years old still. So that's something I would head out into the trade market at a different time with that. I'd let him play the rest of the season and get those numbers back
up. Yeah, and I'm not saying if you feel like he's going to get more than you're willing, you include him in the trade to Miami. You can potentially still acquire Jimmy Butler without giving him up, and you have both of them for the rest of this year at least.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. Again, what I've said from the beginning, I'm not going to say I'm 100% out on Jimmy. I'm going to say I'm 95% out on Jimmy. 95% out on Jimmy. If you can tell me, like, this is my checklist for Jimmy Butler on the Warriors. If you can tell me that A, he promises to opt out, B, you can get him without giving up any assets you love beyond Wiggins, because that's just needed to make the money work, okay? If you can get him for the rest of this year without with Wiggins and then just smaller expiring contracts, and if you included, here's the third piece of the checklist, if you're going to put a draft pick in there, it better be at least 3 to 5 years down the road. That's my checklist. Then maybe I'm open to it, but you better sign a behavioral contract too. Don't get to come in here and be a jerk.
I'm not worried about Jimmy Butler's behavior.
I would be. Why not? He's behaved poorly almost everywhere.
There's a decent chance he's here for, what, 3 months?
That's true, and that helps, but I don't know when he's going to explode. How do you know when that's going to happen?
He's exploding on Miami because they're not willing to offer him a contract extension. The Warriors contractually, legally, they're not allowed to offer him a contract extension if they acquire him at the trade deadline.
Right, but Draymond Green's in the room. Let's not act like these massive personalities are automatically just going to fit together, number one. Number two, let's go back to your point. He's exploding at Miami because they won't give him a contract extension. Is that really a worthwhile reason at age 35 with $52 million on the table already next year? Is that a worthwhile reason for this behavior?
He dragged that sorry franchise to the finals,
Mark. If this is fair, they're going to pay me $52 next year. And at age 35, he's livid because they won't give him max money when he's 37?
Look, I'm not telling you he's
worth this behavior?
I'm not telling you he's the most agreeable person in the world. I'm just saying if he's here for 3 months, I don't care.
Well, I do. I mean, if you don't care about the next 3 months, then what are we doing?
Well, I care about the next 3 months. I don't care. I don't believe that his mindset is so incredibly toxic that over the course of 3 months, it's going to be so disastrous to your franchise.
I don't think so incredibly toxic. I do think roll of the dice. Roll of the dice.
The Warriors only have rolls of dice.
Well, let's go to Jonathan, who apparently is in traffic. I'm sorry, Jonathan. Is it getting any better?
Actually, I'm in that part where it looks like it's all blue skies, and then you cross over that hill and you get into one of those vines, and then you see on the map yellow, red, dawn.
Oh, man. So. Well, then hang out with us for a while. What's going on, man?
That's what I was just saying. I go, what better way to be in traffic than with you guys? So I wanted to go over about this. I completely agree with you, Mark. Jimmy Butler, any of those guys, they are pretty names. I agree. You know, they're specimens to watch. I just don't want them in my arena. And I mean this with love. And I say this because as a Sharks fan, you know, God love me, but a loyal Sharks fan, we are now seeing on the brighter side of things. But boy, it felt like we were underwater for a long time. I felt like a Houdini trick gone wrong. And I was ready to swear Greer's name yet a year again. But I wanted to touch on that because of Erik Karlsson. It was a contract that I believe the Sharks wanted to do because they were kind of in the situation with the Warriors. We were contenders. We went to the Cup. We didn't win it, but we were still relative and we were still something to watch. And they knew all these contracts were coming just like the Warriors, and we signed a big old contract with Eric, and it did us no good. It did him good, but the team's still in rebuild, and we still had to go through that, and it was with burden. It was debt, and we're already knowing what, you know, we're looking to, so why add to it, guys? If you think it's hard now, ask any loyal Sharks fan. It gets worse.
Well, it can always.
So, yeah, guys.
Yeah. Jonathan, thanks. It can always get worse. I mean, I think that's an interesting point he brings up, because I do think there is this characteristic in some of the arguments I hear that's so, like, flippantly, what do we have to lose? We stink out loud. Kind of. I get where you're coming from, but I could just as easily go, look, if your goal is just the 6 or the 7 seed or something like that, if that's your goal right now because you want to be realistic, then I would sit here and say, okay, you're like 2.5 games out, and Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga are coming back. Like, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that you're potentially better in 3 weeks because of the acquisitions that are already on the roster. You could be better. And so, therefore, I'm not saying you're in a great spot, but I would reject this. There's nothing to lose. You're the worst team I've ever watched play. Well, you could get worse. You absolutely could get worse. And some people want to do that, but you wouldn't do this if that's your goal. Jimmy Butler is not your avenue to tank.
No. Jimmy Butler is an avenue to make it more likely you get the 6th or the 7 seed.
I don't know if that's true.
I thought you agreed that he makes them a better basketball team.
I have to know what they're giving up. You gave a scenario of if they give up this. I don't know what they would give up.
They give up Wiggins and the rest normal salary
then
filler,
yes,
including Looney. And
yes, but I don't know that that's on the table. I don't know. That's the price coming way down.
Yeah, I don't know what
way
other option Miami's going to have.
I hear you.
Like, how difficult it is for the Warriors to make this work, make a trade like this work, it's 10 times more difficult for the Suns to get it done.
Oh, agreed.
10 times more difficult.
Because Beal has a no-trade clause and a contract no one wants. Totally get it. And that's why I want the Warriors to behave this way. I do think in this conversation, there's a little bit of, hey, the Warriors, man, are desperate. No. Don't be in this conversation as the desperate one. The Heat of the desperate ones. So you got to come to the party that way.
And I know I have in the past argued for the Warriors to not be patient and to be aggressive and to get something done, because if you wait too long to get something done, it might be too late for that acquisition to help you. In this instance, you have to be patient because you have to hope you get towards the trade deadline. You wake up trade deadline morning, or maybe you never went to sleep because you're Mike Dunleavy. You've been on the phone all night long with Pat Riley and company in Miami. You have to hope that when you get an hour before the trade deadline, noon Pacific time, Thursday, February 6th, 9 days from now, that there's no deal yet for Miami, and they become ultra desperate, and they say, all right, we'll take what you offered us last week.
Yeah. And I think Miami, the reason we're hearing all this today is they're getting pretty close to that, because these things do take time, so you don't consummate a trade in 5 minutes. And the clock is ticking. They don't have a good deal. They're not in a good spot. They got to get that guy off the roster. D in the city is next up. Hi, D. Thanks for calling.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Sure can.
Hey, I'm just going to be straight up, regarding all this. Can we just keep all our players? I mean, shut down all the trading and all that? I mean, because I believe in our Warriors that we have the team, the future team. Even Carey or Green, you know, because JK, they just try him out this year and saw his potential just this year, this season. And we've been having him for how long? 4 years or so? I mean, the young players, they just need more time to play to accelerate.
Right, but so the phrase that you just used there, I believe, is Steph Curry's concern. Because you just said they need more time, and Steph doesn't have that.
Tried before, you know what I mean. He wasn't tried like practice or anything. So, being said that, JK was one. He was a dynasty player. And now we're just noticing him. He can really play at least.
Sort of. No, he can. Yeah, but D, it's not that. Like, I would just. It's not that simple. Like, Jonathan being good, okay. But first of all, unavailable right now for at least 3 more weeks. And number two, you're asking for further development, and I totally get where you're coming from. Like, that's a very fair position, unless your name is Steph Curry. Then I don't want to hear development and more time. Yeah. I got none. Yeah. I have none. Plane is about to leave. Get on or get off. So
it's like the pre-game 7 bus ride to Sacramento a year and a half ago.
That's exactly right.
If you don't want to help us win, stay off the bus and stay in San Francisco. Don't come with us to Sacramento. Like, we're trying to win here still. We're not going to just coast the final couple of years of my career hoping that we develop something that's good after I hang it up.
And for any Warrior fan who thinks that that's a fool's errand, I think you can at least take comfort in the fact that he has publicly stated we don't want to do that irresponsibly. We want to do that, but we're not going to do it irresponsibly.
And that might have been a direct response to some Jimmy Butler rumors.
Very well could have.
But maybe irresponsibility turns to responsibility when the Heat offer or asking price comes down.
No, I agree with. 888-957-9570. We'll play it for you again, let you hear what the reporters are saying, but the word is the Warriors and Jimmy Butler are back on the table as far as a discussion piece because the Heat say the price went down. So are you in or out on that? 888-957-9570 is the number. We will dive off back to the NFL in about a half hour. Greg Cosell will have his weekly visit. All of that is coming up. Grandy is in for Dibs. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And this is Willard and Dibs.
Booker. Blocked by Butler. Taken back by Booker. 3 seconds left for the win. He missed it. Miami holds on and defeats the Phoenix Suns. 113-112. And the Butler did it with defense.
Defending the inbounds throwing.
The lob for Butler. He did it. Jimmy Butler put it in with 3/10 of a second left and got fouled.
Oh, are you...
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, never mind. Trade for him. Like, oh my God, I didn't realize he never missed a shot. Let's get him.
Hell yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Come on, get on the bandwagon.
You know what wagon I'm on? I'm on the knockout tournament wagon. That's where I am. Because it's 3:50, dog.
Oh, we're approaching 4 o'clock.
So we're almost there. You want to claim a spot in the knockout tournament at Chase Center? Play on the Chase Center court with all of us. All you got to do is make sure you're listening here in the next handful of minutes. Coming up early in the 4 p.m. hour, we'll give you the keyword, and then we'll tell you what to do with that keyword, tell you what you could do with your keyword, and then we'll go from there. And somebody is going to win a spot into that knockout tournament. We're doing it every day, every show. 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour, every day. This week, next week, the week after that as well. So for 15 days, and today is only day 2. So all you have to know right now is that it's 3:51, and you should stay right where you are. Because right after 4 o'clock, we're going to have that keyword for you. So that's coming up here in just a few. And I'm sitting here talking to the champ right now, Mark Grandy. Knockout champ.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else in this radio station can use that label.
There's a trophy sitting right over there behind the glass.
Why did you never take it home?
Oh, because I wanted, everyone I beat to see it every time they walked into work.
But it doesn't have your name on it.
No,
it doesn't.
Like,
people who have been hired, like Steven's here. Steven, how long have you been here, Steven, with us? How long have you been here? You weren't here. Go ahead.
Since October.
He's looking at that trophy. He's like, I don't even know whose that is. Somebody.
I had no idea what it was.
Somebody left their crap here. Get your name on it, dude.
Yeah, it's mostly for Guru and Bonte because Guru obviously made it very publicly known that he wanted to win that, and then he was the first person out.
He was out less than 5 seconds into the start of the tournament.
And then Bonte was in the final four, something like that.
Yeah, he made it down toward the end. And was he giving it to you out there on the court while that was happening?
Friendly trash talk.
There was some trash talk?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
He gave it to me when he knocked me out.
Oh, Bonte knocked you out?
Maybe I shouldn't have admitted that. I mean, when he knocked the guy in front of me out.
I got it. Got it. No, you got to give it to people if you're the one who knocks them out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who knocked me out.
I knocked Bonte out. It was great.
Oh, you knocked... Well, you guys were down to the last few.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some listener knock me out. I don't know who it was.
Great work, whoever that was.
Somebody. Somebody. So anyway, that's coming up. It's coming up now in like, 8 minutes or so. So be right where you are, okay? And we appreciate that so much. So here's Brian Windhorst of ESPN with the latest on the Jimmy Butler saga.
Well, the Heat really are trying to move him. I think there might be a perception out there because it seems like it's gone on for weeks that they're not, but they are. And from the sources I've been talking to for the last really 48 hours, but definitely tonight, the Heat's price has dropped. They are willing to do more than they were when this all started last month. The Heat are trying to get this done. The difficulty, Scott, is the one team that really, really wants Jimmy Butler and the team that he really, really wants to go to is the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns have basically the most untradeable contract in the league, not just because Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause, but because how much he's owed on that contract versus what his production is. And even if you could convince him to accept a trade to a certain place, it's a hard thing to do. And so you're really trying to squeeze not just drops of blood out of a stone, you're trying to squeeze a gallon of blood out of a stone. And these teams have been running their heads into it for weeks, and it's not helping what's going on the court and off the court with Jimmy and the Heat.
Okay, so I caught something new this time in listening to that.
Okay.
Which is the admission that both there's one team that really wants him, and that's the team he really wants to go to. So therefore, that team is not the Golden State Warriors, and we're dealing with Jimmy Butler here. So if, no, this is right, it's worth thinking about. I don't know how Jimmy feels about coming to the Warriors. And Jimmy being who he is, that would matter to me if I were going to acquire him. Because I don't know what kind of attitude I'm getting.
He said, or at least the reports are, he wants to be traded. He'll play for any team other than the Heat, his current team. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know what the lore here is. But I also heard a report that said he didn't want to be traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. But he will go anywhere else.
Okay.
Other than, doesn't want to play for Miami, he doesn't want to be a Grizzly. He will go anywhere else. There's probably a hierarchy in the remaining teams, and Phoenix, I guess, is at the top of that list. But I don't think it would mean that he doesn't want to play with the Warriors. Just he would probably prefer to be somewhere else. And hey, you can opt out and you can go sign wherever you want in 6 months from now, Jimmy.
I'm working on trades right now. I've got Butler coming to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Lindy Waters, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Anderson. But then I realized the Heat are probably not going to want to do that because two of those four players have 3 years or two more years left on their contract.
Some of those other ones, they are relatively low numbers that it probably wouldn't be that big of a hindrance. They just don't want a ton of money going into the 26-27 season, which is when Luka is going to be a free agent. De'Aaron Fox is going to be a free agent. Trae Young is going to be a free agent.
All right, so if I keep Kyle Anderson on the Warriors and instead put in Kevon Looney, that works. It mathematically works. Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kevon Looney, Lindy Waters. Now, the Heat are going to get $23 million in expiring contracts. They will get a good player in Andrew Wiggins, who has 1+1 left on his deal after this year at a manageable number. I would imagine that there would be some sort of draft compensation that would have to go. This is the kind of deal I would... maybe grit my teeth and do.
Like, because Schroeder's in it?
No, I don't have a thing against Dennis Schroeder like a lot of people do. He's struggling to fit. I know he's a good player. He's already proven that. And he's playing a role that the Warriors need. They need another ball-handling guard for when Steph's not on the floor. So I'm still thankful to have Schroeder. But not the end of the world if you have to deal him either. But no, the reason I would be willing to potentially do that, you're keeping Jonathan Kuminga. As we've said, Wiggins is the only major player that you're giving up here. I would want assurances that Jimmy Butler was not opting into his deal. You keep Kuminga? Maybe.
Let's boogie.
Maybe. But, and whatever draft pick is going to be in there better be way down the road.
And the Warriors would probably attach some kind of protection to it.
Yep.
Which, fine, whatever. If it's top 10 protected and it conveys in the top 10, then you push it off one more year, there's a chance it could be a top 5 pick the following year.
For sure.
And you might lose out on a major asset, but it's kind of what you got to do. The one thing that this general conversation about irresponsible trades and mortgaging the future and making sure we're being smart and not being desperate. I get where the Warriors are coming from. And honestly, it's pretty noble that someone in Steph Curry's position feels that way. Because Steph there's absolutely no reason other than just the care that he has for the organization that he should care about what the Warriors are after he's gone. It's very noble, but it's not something that most players really care about. So I want to say that it's a noble thought. But when we talk about how the Warriors shouldn't make a trade for so and so because you're damaging your future, I have a really hard time believing that holding on to a single first round pick or holding on to Jonathan Kuminga instead of trading them away to get in a quality player now that helps you win now while Steph Curry is still good. I have a hard time believing that you're really making that big of a difference for the future of your organization. Like, if you're giving up 4 first round picks, like, okay, that's a difficult thing to recoup. And I'm not saying go out and be the Nets who gave up however many picks for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry. I'm not advising that. But if the reason you are not making a move for a veteran star right now is because you're convinced that this one first round pick that you're holding on to is the key to the next era of your franchise, I'm sorry, you are entirely putting too much value in that single asset.
I agree. That part.